Blog Talk Radio.
Israel, have fallen short in your sight.
Open your eyes and see. 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 Open your eyes and see.
Open your eyes.
Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see.
Yahweh, have mercy on me.
Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see.
Open your eyes.
Shalom, shalom. Again, Alicia Israel is here to bring you another lesson in truth or tradition. Do you know that you all in the listening audience that are listening to me this day, regardless of your race, regardless of your religious affiliation, do you know today that you're blessed beyond all measure? Yah will do something today that he blessed me with many years ago. See, when Yah calls a prophet, there are things that the prophet must do in order to establish his identity as a servant of the Most High. And we read from the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse. It says, Yahweh will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. In other words, all of the secrets of Yah, he said he would reveal unto his servants, the prophets. And he kept his word. He has revealed to me an abundance of secrets that had not been told or shared by anyone in this present generation. And he revealed these things to me in order to bring you back to him. For he will do nothing except what he reveals unto his servants, the prophets. And if you look in the book of Songs, the 25th chapter, if you look at the 14th verse, it says, the secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him. Let me repeat that. The secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So in order for these covenants to be shown to you, you have to first fear the Most High. And that's something that the majority, the vast majority of the people in our listening audience who are of the Christian persuasion, have never learned to do. Your preachers have taught you that God is love, and to serve God, you must just love and he will forgive anything you do. Just ask for forgiveness in his son's name, and he just love everybody and love everything, and he just full of love. And you never learn how to fear him. The vast majority of the times that the Creator addressed our people, he told them to fear him, because he knew that only through fear would he get the obedience necessary that he needs for in order for you to keep his commandments. And our people have never learned to fear Yahweh, because you really learned nothing about him. If you know the Elohim, or as you say, the God of my fathers, the God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, and the God of my father Jacob, if you knew that he was a terrible God, a God that destroyed the whole earth, men, women, grandmamas, little babies, and babies still in women's stomachs, he destroyed that whole earth, with the exception of Noah and his three sons and their wives. If you really knew about this great Elohim that destroyed the whole city of Sodom and Gomorrah, did you know that Yahweh is a terrible Elohim, even a consuming fire? And this image that you were taught to love and identify with the Creator is nothing like him at all. But today we're going to share some things with our listening audience, because this day I promise you that Yahweh will bless you beyond all measure. Today, Yahweh will bless you with the knowledge of the greatest best kept secret in the world, and that is the true identity of his anointed one, the true identity of his king, the true identity of his prince that is to come and rule this earth under his divine counsel. We're going to show you today the true identity of Yahweh's anointed one that you call by the name of the Messiah. But I might warn you that in order for you to get this blessing, you must promise yourself that you will put no one in front of our Creator, because only by you acknowledging his divine presence, only by you dictating to your mind that you will not put anyone else above him, just for the duration of this lesson, only then would you be blessed with the blessings that Yah has in store for you. But you must first say to yourself that I'm not going to put anyone this day in front of the Most High. I'm not going to put Moses or Daniel in the lion's den, or Ezekiel or Christ or Paul or John or nobody in front of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Yah will bless you this day, in that I will assure you. Did you know that according to your scriptures, in the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, that Yah put a curse on anyone that put any man or woman in front of him? According to Jeremiah 17:5, it says,
Thus saith Yahweh.
Thus said Yahweh.
Cursed be the man that trusteth in man.
Here the Creator says, cursed be the man that trust in man. Now, if you're a Christian, he's talking about you, because Christianity is predicated with the worship of Christ, who said that he's not God, who professed that he is not the Most High, who said that he has a God. And now you are serving a man, a mere mortal, instead of the Creator. As it was said in the scriptures, that the people are now worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And we want you to say to yourself, this hour, that you'll not put any creature in front of our Creator. Because Yah, I want you to read that again. He said, cursed. He starts off by saying, thus said Yahweh, cursed be the man
that trusteth in man.
That trusteth in man.
And maketh flesh his arm.
And maketh flesh his guard, his support.
And whose heart departed from Yahweh.
And this man allowed your heart to depart from Yahweh. And you know I'm talking about you, because many of you all are offended when you hear our choirs praise Yahweh. Even though this is the one that the Christ of the New Testament said that the people should worship. Even though this is the one that all of the holy prophets throughout the scriptures said that we should worship him and praise him and make a joyful noise to him and him alone. When we mention his name, many of you all snug your shoulders up with resentment because you have fell in love with a man as it was prophesied that you would do. But finish reading.
For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness.
In other words, a man that trusts in man, like many of our listening audience that be on the internet listening, like George and many others of you out there, when I bring the good news from the Father, you resent it. You say, this is all lies, this is false, because it's not consistent with what you've been taught. And you resent it, and you reject the Most High. It's not Elisha that you're rejecting, it's the Most High. But finish.
For he should be like that heath in the desert.
He, the person that rejects the Most High and begins to put flesh in front of the Most High, begins to put a man's word in front of Yahweh, he should be like a heath in the desert.
And shall not see when good cometh.
He won't even know when he's hearing good that's coming to him as they are doing this night.
But shall inhabit the parched places.
But that person should inhabit the parched places.
In the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited.
That is the faith. That is the curse that Yah put on all the people that put their trust in man. And you know he's talking and making it abundantly clear that he's speaking about Christian, because Christianity, as I said, is predicated on a worship of man. And you can't read the New Testament and say, I'm trusting in Yahweh, because Yahweh never spoke in the New Testament. Yahweh never spoke one mumbling word to anyone in the New Testament at all, at any time. There's nothing that Yah has ever said to Christ, to Paul, to John, or anyone, period, in the New Testament. The closest that you think that you heard Yah speak is three different verses where it said a voice came from heaven and said, but the Christ of the New Testament tells you that voice was not Yahweh. According to John 5:37, he told his disciples, all of them, you have neither heard God's voice, you have neither seen his shape or heard his voice at any time. at any time. So he let you know that that voice that you heard was not the voice of Yahweh. It was not the voice of the Most High. So don't think that you're dealing with a book that was speaking the words of the Most High. You might as well have used that book to the puppy train a dog or something, because if you're using it for divine guidance, you missed the boat. As a matter of fact, Yahweh never needed a New Testament. He never needed another book, because Yah told Daniel to close the book and seal it. The Almighty told the prophet Isaiah in the book of Isaiah, the 34th chapter, Yah tells Isaiah that his book is complete. So this is not the book of Yah that you're reading every Sunday in church when you read about what Paul said to a Roman and what Paul said to a Corinthian and what Paul said to a Galatian. You're not reading what Yah said to Israel. You're not reading what thus said Yahweh to the children of Israel, but you're merely reading a letter that Paul wrote to some Gentile followers of his. But you're not reading the one word of what thus said Yahweh. So don't think that you're being led and being guided by the Spirit of Yah when you read the New Testament. According to Isaiah, the 34th chapter, the 16th verse, it says,
"Seek ye out of the book of Yahweh."
God said this thousands of years before there was a New Testament. He said, "Seek ye out of the book of Yahweh.
And read."
And he told our people to do something they don't like to do. He told them to seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read.
"No one of these shall fail."
Not one of these books will fail.
"None shall want her mate."
He said none should want a mate.
"For my mouth it hath commanded."
The Creator said his mouth has ordained and anointed and appointed and commanded the Holy Scriptures of what you call the Old Testament to be written. He said, "My mouth has what?
Have commanded."
He has commanded.
"And his spirit."
And his spirit of Yahweh.
"It hath gathered them."
This is the one who gathered these books and gave them to King James and told him to write it in English and make it available to our people, to all the people that fear him and is seeking his word. He made him write it in English. A lot of people have rejected the Bible, rejected the Holy Scriptures, because they thought that was King James' book. Well, I want you to know today it was not King James' book. King James had no Bible written. King James, in 1603 to 1611, he had 53 of the top scholars that he could find in the world, scholars that were scholars in the Hebrew language, the Arabic language, the Aramaic language, rather, the English language, the Greek language, and Latin. And he had people that were scholars in literature, poetry, write this book, 53 of them. And it took them 8 years to complete. Now let me show you how great my Elohim is. Let me tell you how great my God is. He's able to take a king named King James, who hated black people, and made him write a book that glorified black nappy-haired people. He made King James, who was a homosexual, write a book or translate a book that condemned homosexuality. He made King James, who was a racist, write a book that condemned white people that did not hearken unto the words of the black prophets. Yah is great. Yah is wonderful. He inspired a man to go against his own emotions, his own character, to do something that was totally diverse just to exalt the Creator and His words. That's how great my Elohim is. So tonight especially, listen and don't put no one in front of my Creator and reverence His words. The book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. I want you all to write this down and look at it according to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, the 11th verse. These are the words of my Elohim. He said,
so shall my word be.
He said, so shall my words be.
It goeth forth out of my mouth.
In other words, he wants you to know how powerful, how just, and how blessed his words are that go out of his mouth. He said, so shall my words be that goeth out of my mouth.
It shall not return unto me void.
He said, these words are not going to come back to me empty-handed. In other words, when I say something, it's going to be done. When I say something, it's going to execute anything I sent it to do. When I said, let there be light, my words establish light. It has a creative power to establish it. Anything that I say, my words has the power to fulfill that. My words shall not go out of my mouth void.
But it shall accomplish.
It shall accomplish.
That which I please.
He said his words are going to accomplish the things that he please. And this night, I will show you what pleases my Elohim. So I want you to pay attention to him. For in the book of Malachi, the Almighty lets us know something that we should have known all of our lives, but our preachers didn't teach me or you this. They told me that the Old Testament was done away with. They told me that there was a mean God back there, but now we are in the new covenant. In the New Testament. And a new God is on the scene. A God of mercy and justice. A God of truth and light. A God that brought truth and grace in the world. And that is that the book they wanted me to familiarize myself with. They wanted me to study that book, not the Creator's Holy Scriptures. But here the Creator said, my words shall not go out of my mouth void. But the people, I think, they don't have a good comprehension of the Creator's words because they never feared the Most High. They never feared him. That's the reason they put men in front of him. The Creator said, he is a master, but if he is your master, if he's the master of the universe, then where is his fear? Malachi, the first chapter, the sixth verse, our Creator makes an appeal to our people. The Most High says,
a son honoreth his father.
The Creator said, a son, he honors his father.
And a servant, his master.
And any good servant is going to honor his master.
If then I be a father.
Then the Creator says, if then I be a father.
Where is my honor?
Where is my honor?
And if I be a master.
He said, if then I be a master.
Where is my fear?
Where is my fear? And if he's the father, the one that Christ said father, the one that Moses said father, the one that all the children of Israel address as Abba, Abba, my father, then where is his fear? If he's a master, where is his fear? If he's a father, then where's his respect? Where is it? All these churches is glorifying Christ. Christ this and Christ that. But where's Yah's honor? Where is it at? Where is respect that's due him and due to him only if he is our Father and if he is our Master? That fear does not exist. And we want our people to learn how to fear the Most High. Because if you look in the book of Psalms, 111 chapter, the 10th verse, it says, "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom." That's reason. I, with just a high school education that I obtained from a GI Bill, I, who is not a college graduate, that's the reason I have went around the country debating scholars and doctors and men with doctor's degree in theology that's been in seminars and classes with sheepskin all over their walls, and I debated these men. And they confessed to me that I know more than they ever knew. This is what they have told me at the debate. I have several of these statements being made on tapes that I have. Why? Because the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. You don't get true wisdom just by going to Xavier, UC, or college and you graduated. Most of my people are educated fools. Look what they do as soon as they get out of school. Look at them. Look at your athletes. Look at your golf players. Just look at them. And they're supposed to be the cream of the crop. Look at these scholars. The scripture said the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. Sir, you don't have no wisdom at all. You don't even know what understanding is until you begin to fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, and then he will bless you with wisdom. He said the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. No wonder you didn't have no good understanding. No wonder you're worshiping a hippie on a stick. No wonder you're worshiping a creature instead of the Creator. No wonder you're going to a church that got you going to church on a day that was established by the Roman Empire and not by Yahweh himself. No wonder you never learned to keep Yahweh's commandments and believe in circumcision and the Sabbath days and all of his covenants that he established. I even told your preachers to tell y'all the seven covenants, and I give you $200 and $300 and then $1,000 to anyone that could name them. And they couldn't. None of these preachers could do it. They wish they could do it to make me look bad, to say, call the Felicia and give him the name of the seven everlasting covenants. They didn't do it. And they didn't want to try because they knew if they even mentioned the everlasting covenants, that you should have been keeping, the first thing that you might have done is look to him and say, "Hey, Reb, hey, Bishop, if these are the seven everlasting covenants that Elisha was speaking of, that Yah said he gave to the people to keep forever, then why aren't we keeping those covenants? Why aren't we doing those things?" Brothers and sisters, you're not doing it because you have been misled. According to Isaiah 9 and 16, Yahweh said, "For the leaders of this people caused them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." Well, that's truth, and that's reading you in the state that you're in today. But I would not prolong what I promised to give you tonight, and that is the world's best kept secret. Yahweh had proposed in his heart to establish an anointed one that was to come and rule his people in the latter days. After the resurrection, rule his people forever. This person was to live forever. As the scriptures say, this person was to abide in the temple with Yahweh forever, as the scriptures will show. And this person is in the exact image of Yahweh according to his word. Let me allow you to see the importance of the world's best kept secret. It is so great that many of our ancestors of the house of Israel, many of the priests and prophets never knew this answer that you will get from me tonight. According to the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, I want you to see how great a significance this question is. Look how it's posed to the people in Proverbs, the 30th chapter, the 4th verse. It says,
who hath ascended up into heaven?
He asked the question, who has ascended up in heaven?
Or descended?
Or who has came down from heaven?
Who hath gathered the wind?
We can say a lot of people, if you just stop there, you could say, well, Elijah went up, and Enoch went up, and there were angels went up, and there were angels that came back. But if you say that at this point, you would have taken that verse out of context. So let's read the creed. Have you read the whole substance, the whole verse, the whole matter before you addressed it? And he has a lot to say. He said, who has ascended up into heaven and who has descended?
Who have gathered the wind in his fist?
Now this separates Elijah and Enoch. Who has gathered the winds in his fist?
Who have bound the waters in a garment?
Who has bound the waters in a garment?
Who hath established all the ends of the earth?
And then he said, who has established all the ends of the earth?
What is his name?
What is his name?
And what is his son's name?
And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Now, can you tell me? Can anyone in my listening audience tell me? Can anyone in the world give me the answer to this, the correct answer to this, other than those that I have taught around the world? Other than them, can anyone in this world call me at this program? Area code 513-749-1230 and tell me his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell. This question was so mysterious that even the songists, even the people of Israel were asking one another that. And they all know that Israel is a son of the Most High. For according to Exodus, the 4th chapter, the 22nd and 23rd verse, here is what it says. It starts off again with something that you will never find in the New Testament, never find in the Quran, never find in any other so-called holy books. It starts off with, thus said Yahweh. He said, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh,
thus saith Yahweh, Israel is my son.
Israel is my son.
Even my firstborn.
Even my firstborn son.
And I say unto thee,
and I say unto thee,
let my son go.
Let my son go, that he may serve me.
And if thou refuse to
and
let him
Pharaoh,
go,
the king of Egypt, if you don't let my son go, I'm going to do what?
Behold, I will slay thy son.
I'm going to slay your son, even your firstborn. So many Israelites knew that Israel is the firstborn son of Yahweh as a nation. But before I disclose this answer, I have someone on the internet that believes they have the answer, and let me allow this happy, merry soul share this beautiful answer with you. His name is Paul. Yes, sir. Yes,
hi,
Paul,
how are
you?
My name is Paul.
Yes.
And I believe, okay, I believe 100% that the name that we're looking for is Jesus, is Yahweh.
All right. In other words, the name of who is that? The name of the Father is who?
The name of the Father is Jesus.
And what's the
Yahweh.
Name of the Son?
The Son is Yahweh.
Well, no, he said, what is his name? And what is his son's name? So there's two names,
right?
That
so
he. Name, well, wait a minute. Let me. Wait a minute, Paul. Wait a minute. I'm gonna let you talk. But see, in this verse, it says in Proverbs 30:4, the latter part of the verse said, "What is his name?" And that means, in addition to his name, what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. So they both don't have the same name. Those are two different names.
The name of Israel.
I'm sorry?
Everyone knows the name of Israel.
I'm sorry?
His name. So you say it's the name of Israel.
No, I didn't. No. No,
okay.
No. I read in the book where the Creator said Israel is his firstborn son. I read where he said that. That's Exodus 4, chapter, the 22nd and 23rd verse.
Right,
but
right.
Hold it. Wait. Hold it, Paul. Knows. Paul, hold it now. But you have not shown me from the scriptures where it says that the Father's name is Christ and that the Son's name is Christ. You haven't shown me that.
I have a friend with me right now who knows all the verses and who can quote every part.
Well, that's good. Put them on the phone.
All right. You can debate with him.
All right. We. Yes? Oh, he hung up? Okay, all right. Well, I was waiting for him to put somebody on the phone because, you see, I extended this invitation to the world, and only one person thought he knew, and he was wrong. He was dead wrong because what he said he couldn't establish. And the people in our listening audience that believe is Christ, establish it. Show me what y'all said his son's name is Christ. Well, you can't do that. So let me finish. The question is, what is his name and what is his son's name if thou canst tell? And then before I finish, I'm going to stop one last time because there's a beautiful lady on the other end that just called, and she said she's sure she has the answer to the question. Now, how do I know that she don't? Well, let's see. Sister Anna, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Excellent, thank you. Are you ready to share with our beautiful listening audience the name and his son's name?
The name of the Father?
The name to who has established the ends of the earth. Who has bound up the winds at his fists.
Yeah.
Who has established all the ends of the earth. And then the question is, what is his name and what is his son's name if thou canst tell? And you tell me?
His name is Yah or Yahweh.
Yahweh? His name is Yahweh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what's his son's name?
Son's name would be Yahshua.
All right. Now, Sister Anna,
mm-hmm.
Can you show me where Yahweh or Yahweh said his son's name is Yahshua?
Well, I don't have my Bible with me. I was in the car.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, I tell you what you do. Whenever you get a chance, just call in. If you're not able to do it today, do it next week.
Okay.
And if you just want to call me during the process of the week, you can call me at 226-7110, and I'll let the listening audience know so that they can look it up as well.
Okay. Well,
all right. Thank you, sister.
1717.
It's 226-7110.
7110. Okay.
All right. Okay, now we're going to continue with this right now, and I'll not stop no more. I gave a couple of people a chance to prove the question that was asked in the scriptures. What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Because if you know, then you can prove it. Or other than that, you're just merely guessing. But I'm going to show you who it is, because I promised to do this at the beginning of our show. The Most High was looking for an anointed one to rule this earth forever. And he gave a man a chance to be that anointed one, and this man failed. And I'm going to show you what he said about this man. If we take our scriptures and go to the book of 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. Those that care to join me, let's go to 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, and here's what the Most High said that he was going to do and what he was going to establish. 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, we're going to read verse 14. Here's what it says.
But now thy kingdom shall not continue.
He's talking to King Saul, and he killed Saul because Saul disobeyed him. But now
thy kingdom shall not continue.
It's not going to continue no more.
Yahweh has sought him a man after his own heart.
Yahweh, Samuel tells Saul that Yahweh is now looking for a man after his own heart.
And Yahweh has commanded him.
And Yahweh has commanded this person after his own heart.
To be captain over his people.
To be captain over his people. Now, who is this person? This person is so great that Yahweh said he would not allow this man, this person, to be in the grave. He said he would die. He said they would put him in a grave, but he said he would raise them up out of the grave. If we go to Psalm 71, let's see the words of the true and living Elohim and what he had to say pertaining to this matter. I want you to go to Psalm 71 and see what the Mighty One said in verse 20. In 21, he's not mentioning his name right now, but he says, Thou,
which hast showed me great and sore troubles.
You have showed me great and sore troubles.
Shall quicken me again.
You shall quicken me again.
And shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth.
And you shall bring me up again out of the dust of the earth. That's what Yahweh said he would do to this man named David. And that's who you're reading about, brothers and sisters, David. And then the Creator goes further in the book of Psalms 49. I told you today we will reveal to you the world's best kept secret. You're going to see things that you've never seen before this night. Right here in Psalms 49, notice what it says in verse 14 and 15.
Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them.
death should feed on the dead. Like sheep, they are laid in a grave, and death shall feed on them.
And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning.
And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning.
And their beauty shall consume in a grave from their dwelling.
It said their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But Elohim will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me up. Shira. Now, who is this speaking? This is a prophet that was a king also. And this great king, this prophet that's speaking, is one named David. And this is another prophecy that Yah gave him. And then there's another prophecy I'd like to share with you on Psalms 16. We go to Psalms 16. Notice what it says. And here again, David is speaking. And what does it say in chapter 16, the 8th to the 10th verse? It says, I have set Yahweh always before me, because he is my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoice. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt show me the path of life in the presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Who's speaking? David is speaking. Notice that 10th verse again. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. I was taught as a little boy, this is Christ talking, but this is not Christ, and nor are they speaking about Christ. This is not David talking about Christ. David is not saying thou wilt not leave his soul in hell. David, who is talking, is saying, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shall thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. So even though David died, even though David was buried, he knew that Yahweh would not suffer his soul to see corruption. Now, what had I done thus far? I have showed you what David said about not remaining in the dead grave. I've showed you what David said. But now, let me show you what thus said Yahweh. And let's see if David is speaking out of his own mouth, or was he a true prophet that was only prophesizing what Yahweh had already shown him. If we look in the book of Jeremiah, the great prophet called the eagle-eyed prophet. Let's see what Yahweh said unto Jeremiah about King David and about our people. And we're going to read the 7th to the 9th verse.
Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. At last, for that day is great.
That day is great.
So that none is like
there's it. There's no day like this that's going to come about our people, brothers and sisters. No day.
It is even the time of Jacob's
and
trouble.
This great day will be called the day of Jacob's trouble. And that's why you better get ready. That's why you better not put anyone above the Most High. That's why you better learn who the true and living Elohim is. And it's time for you to learn to save him, because he is our hope. He is our shield. He is our salvation. He has saved us before, and he will save us again. He saved the children of Israel out of Egypt. He saved Daniel out of the lion's den. He saved the three Hebrew boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whose name they changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He saved them out of the fire furnace. So who did Christ save? Even though he told them that not one hair of their head would in no wise perish, most of them were beheaded. He himself died and accused my father, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was not the true God. He accused my God of sinning. But when every knee bow, every knee bend, and every tongue shall confess, it will be to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you better start learning who he is, or your time is short, Mr. and Mrs. Negro. And it's close at hand.
For it shall come to pass in that day.
It shall come to pass in that day,
saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck.
He's going to break the yoke of the Gentiles from off our neck. You won't have to go looking for jobs for him and begging him for unemployment and begging him to let you come in and sweep his job, his floors, and mop his bathrooms. You won't have to beg him for that, because Yah's going to break his yoke from off our neck.
And we'll burst thy bonds.
And he's going to burst the bonds that we have upon us.
And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him.
No strangers, wherever they from, Korea, Japan, Russia, China, and nowhere, no more strangers shall serve themselves of us.
But they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim.
Israel shall serve Yahweh their Elohim.
And David their king.
And David their king.
Whom I will raise up unto them.
Here David had been dead, brothers and sisters. David had been dead for hundreds of years. And here Jeremiah the prophet saying that Yah is going to raise him up to us. This is not Christ being born in no manger by Mary. This is David being raised up. So there's no way you can teach that this is Christ here. The Christ that you try to refer to has never been born. His mama never allowed him to come into the world yet, because she wasn't even born. But Yah is telling his people he's going to raise David up. Christ of the New Testament is not David. And let me tell you something, so you don't get the wrong opinion. The New Testament is a false book. It is not the book of Yahweh. It is a book that was wrote to be in opposition to the Creator's words, and that's what it has been ever since its origin. It had been an adversary against Yahweh and his words. But as finished reading, it said, they should serve David, Yahweh the Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. This is what Yahweh said. He's going to raise David up. So David knew what he was talking about when he said, you will not suffer the Holy One to see corruption. The Holy One that he was speaking about that would not see corruption is David. David is the one that he calls his son, according to the book of Songs, the 17th chapter of Songs. Notice what it says in the 15th verse. It says in Songs 17, 15th verse,
as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness.
Hello? Hello? David knew he would not see corruption. David knew the Almighty would not rest his soul in the grave. And David said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." So when David come back, he will not be like any other man. He will be like the exact image of Yahweh himself. And the Creator will confirm this. For if we go in the book of Psalms, the 89th division, I told you to call your friends. I called you to call your pastors. Because I told you tonight you are going to have a treat. This is one of the revelations that Yahweh showed me many, many, many years ago. That David will be the Messiah of the earth. And when I told people that, they just laughed. They were not laughing at me, as you are not laughing at me. You're laughing at the Most High if you're laughing at all. Because what I'm telling you are the words of a true and living Elohim. I'm telling you what Yahweh says. But you don't trust in him. I forgot that you trust in man. Now, if Paul had said this, you would have accepted that. If John had said this, you would have accepted that. But when Yahweh himself tell you that he is going to choose David, you reject it. That's how you know your curse. That's how you know your curse. Because you do not esteem the words of the true and living Elohim. You should be ready to stand up at attention when I say, "Thus said Yahweh," and Yahweh is speaking. But instead of you reverencing his words, instead of you trembling at his words, you're mad because you can show Alicia, where Paul said something different. And you can't wait to call me up to say, "Well, I know what you're saying, Alicia, but you're wrong. Let me show you what Paul said." And you don't even know how big a fool you're being and how big a fool you're looking. But you can't tell it because you can't see good when it is coming. Because now you are going by man. You have trusted in man, and you have made man your God. Well, let's read Psalms 89 and start reading at the 18th verse.
"For Yahweh is our defense."
Yahweh is our defense.
"And the Holy One of Israel is our King."
And the Holy One of Israel is our King. So, notice what it says. The psalmist is saying, Yahweh is our fence, and the Holy One of Israel, who is Yahweh, he's our King. Then, he's speaking of Yahweh, "Thou spoke it in visions to thy Holy One." In other words, the author is establishing the fact that the Most High started speaking. And now you see a prophecy being fulfilled. From here on is prophecy. Well, I said, notice what the prophecy said. "Then thou spoke it in vision to the Holy One and said," now Yahweh comes into being, "I have laid help upon one that is mighty." Notice this is not the song is speaking, but the words of Yahweh. "I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the sons of wickedness afflict him." Then the Creator continues and said, and I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness, not his faithfulness, this is Yahweh speaking in visions, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be established. In my name shall his government be exalted. I, said Yahweh, will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers, meaning that he will give him worldwide dominion. Worldwide dominion. He shall cry unto me,
thou art my father.
Thou art my father.
My Elohim.
And this is what David would say, thou art my father, my Elohim, and the rock of my salvation. And then notice, verse 27. Here the Creator says, also I will make him. Who is he speaking of? David. I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. So, he will be the Lord of lords and the King of kings, because Yahweh promised to make him higher than the kings of the earth. David. He's speaking of David. And notice what else he says about David. If you go to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, he'll tell you who he's speaking of. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, we're going to start reading the 3rd to the 5th verse.